When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
Welcome, everyone, to Couch Potato Diary. Happy Friday. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in today. We are in part one here on Couch Potato Diary of Fights in Football Friday. Also, if you're looking for more football, I just did the first Saskatchewan Rough Rider focused podcast, the Rider Happy Hour. That'll be up in a matter of moments as well. Probably up, actually, by the time you are checking this out. So, lots going on the network. Today, we are focusing on a lot going on in the fight world. We got UFC drama, we got fights to make after UFC 302, we got fights to make after a big boxing weekend, and we got an interview, an actual interview on the podcast. We haven't done that in a while, but the Profits, great tag team here in Calgary, they are jumping on, so we'll be chatting with them about all things wrestling in this city coming up in a bit. But first, let's get to some fight talk. All right, so I want to start with all the drama this week around the Conor McGregor presser. Not a good start for the build to this fight. You already have a lot of people wondering if Conor is taking all of this seriously. And then to just give us a, oh yeah, it's postponed. A, you're not redoing it. It's been canceled. B, no one thinks Conor is taking this seriously. And so, like, this fight really needed, I think, and this card really needed this to jump it, I think. And now they don't get it. So not a good start. You have International Fight Week. We are supposed to be super excited. And this guy who's barely fought in the last 5 years might still be fighting. It's ridiculous. I am so over the Conor business. And then you get Ariel this week being like, hey, you know what? I've heard. Still might be getting this fight. It's like, is that supposed to make me happy at this point? Because I'm not. I am so over it with this guy. There is not one thing that he has handled well the last few years. Like, hey, congratulations, you're in Roadhouse and everyone's loving you and all of those things. But you've kind of been a nightmare, dude. And I'm over it. So to me, his stock continues to fall and fall and fall and fall. And I'm just fucking over it at this point with this guy. And look, I am aware he is still popular and he will always be a draw. And what he did in this sport is incredible. That there, none of this, absolutely none of this, is taking away what he has done. It's just, I'm over it. I'm just done with it now. Like, just move on. I am aware he is still popular. I'm aware he's still a draw. The problem is, he's aware he's popular. He's aware he is still a draw. And he thinks he can just play the fight game like this. And the fucked up thing is he's right. Dana comes crawling back to him every single time, trying for something. Like, just, please, sir, I want some more. Only in a British accent. And I'm so done with it. I don't know if you can tell. I'm over it. I don't think this guy adds anything in the fight perspective that I want. I want to see the best fighters in the cage represented and where we ultimately decide who is the ultimate fighter. And it's a never-ending quest and all of that. But I don't need to see this guy fight anymore. He did his thing. That's great. Don't come in and cut this pathetic promo while you're sitting on the ground talking about Dustin Poirier's wife in your DMs in a desperate attempt to try to stay relevant in the fight game. And now you've just dragged this on and on and on and on and on. Like, just retire. Go be an owner. Go be a promoter. Go do your own shit, man. You own a yacht. Just go lay on the yacht. Like, just be done with it. Don't jerk this whole thing around and hold up top fighters and top divisions for years for your own bullshit games. I'm over it. And if he does fight on June 29th, I hope Michael Chandler just annihilates him. And I was going to say we're done with it. We're never going to be done with it. He's always going to be around, but it just, this second act of the Conor McGregor career and the Conor McGregor run has been really, really annoying, and I'm kind of just over it, man. Shifting gears to people who actually fight. UFC 302 goes down last weekend. What an event it was. But now it is time to look ahead at what is next. So here are the fights I would make coming off of UFC 302. First, in the lightweight division, Islam Makhachev against Armin Sarukian. Sarukian won a title eliminator to get to this bout, while Makhachev, he has talked about moving to 170 pounds before. I still think he has to clear out this division a little bit before we actually get to that point. I'm still there. Like, I need to see this one here against Sarukian. Maybe one more, and then you can move up to 170, but I don't think that a win against a guy who is a 155-pound legend, for sure, to start the run. Then two fights against a dude from 145 pounds. And then one fight against a guy who, again, legend at 155 pounds, might have been hot-shotted for this anyway. I don't think that really means you've cleaned up the division and you get to go play your reindeer games at 170 now. I think there are still legitimate challengers here at 155 that Makhachev needs to run through first. And we all project that he will run through them, but he needs to actually do it, and then he can go up to 170 pounds. In terms of the guy who he just beat, Dustin Poirier, let's run it back with Justin Gaethje. Two legendary brawlers, just give them a chance to do epic shit one more time. I would love it. I think both guys would really embrace this sort of a fight again. Otherwise, if you're not going to do that, I would give them the loser of Chandler against Conor McGregor. And I know I just said I'm over it with the Conor stuff, but I'm here for Poirier to get paid, and getting that Conor McGregor money one more time certainly would be a nice way on out the door, and I think that is a increasingly winnable fight for Poirier. Into the middleweight division, I have Sean Strickland going up against the loser of Robert Whittaker and Khamzat Chimaev coming up a little bit later on. That's in a couple of weeks' time here. I think that the winner of that should be next in line for a title shot behind Israel Adesanya going up against Rikus Duplessis, and I want to see Strickland get one more win before I'm putting him back into a title scrap. And so I think this would be another good one to see, like, okay, that this is the level that he can be at. That is great and all of that. Now let's put him into a title shot. And then for Paulo Costa, I have him going up against Michel Pereira. It would be the biggest step up of Pereira's career, and it would give Costa the chance to be like, look, I said I'm going to go out there and knock motherfuckers out and just throw it to the wind if I'm losing anyway. It would give him a chance to have kind of an action fight against Pereira and then either maybe prove that he still has some life as a challenger at 185 pounds or prove that Pereira has a chance as a challenger at 185 pounds. So I think there's some real intrigue there that can make this fight, I think, very, very interesting. And then lastly, Kevin Holland against Chao Barala. Barallo coming off of that big win over Paul Craig. Holland back on track after a big win at UFC 302. It is a higher profile bout for, honestly, both of them, and allows them to, like, for Holland, he is trying to build that track back up into contention. And Barallo, he's trying to get there for the first time. And so I think this would be a really, really big fight for both of these fighters. All right, let's quickly shift into the boxing. Zhele Zhang with a knockout win over Deontay Wilder, and I think that sets up a number of intriguing bouts. To me, the fight to make is Zhang against Anthony Joshua. Joshua has won four in a row. Zhang is coming off of maybe the biggest win of his career, so let's put them together, set up a huge fight, and make it a championship eliminator. Make it a number one contenders fight. I get we probably don't need Joshua and Usyk for the third time, but if Joshua wins it, I mean, we've backed out of number one contender things before in boxing. But I think this gives Zhang an opportunity to work his way to a belt. And then in my world, Zhang wins this fight over Anthony Joshua. Usyk beats Fury in their rematch. You set up Zhang versus Usyk for the heavyweight championship sometime in 2025, and you set up Joshua versus Fury and give us a fight that we've all kind of been clamoring for. For Deontay Wilder, The next step may be retirement. He has done wonders. He has absolutely changed his life and his family's life with all the money that he has made. So if he wants to just ride off into the sunset, then by all means, it has been a pleasure to watch you do business, sir. If you still want to sling the thing, Francis Ngannou. Wilder, I think, is so far removed from contention right now. There's really only one fight I want to see, and that's him against Anthony Joshua. I get we're about a decade late on it. I still want to see it. I still want those two guys to stand in a ring and punch each other. Is that too much to ask? That's what I want. So that is really what I am trying to get to. But if I'm putting Joshua in a fight against Zhang and then giving Joshua his next fight, let's make some money. Deontay Wilder against Francis Ngannou. This would be a real test to see, like, is Francis going to be somewhat viable in boxing, or was it just a couple really cool nights out in Riyadh? Let's find out. Give these guys fuck you money again and just let them sling it in the heavyweight division. So some big boxing coming up, though. Gervonta Davis, that is next weekend. We're going to have a lot of coverage around the Tank Davis fight coming up next week. Before that, though, there's quite a bit of wrestling happening in the city of Calgary, and odds are, if you're watching a show in Calgary, you're watching the Profits. They are one of the best tag teams in not just Calgary, not just Alberta, but I would say in Canada as a whole. Had a great chance to chat with Rhino Reynolds and Chris Castles earlier this week, and going to play that conversation for you guys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here. Very pleased to be joined now by one of the best tag teams in the city and probably the province as well. It is Rhino Reynolds, Chris Castles. They are the Profits. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us today. Rhino, we'll start with you as you are face painted at the side of the road. How are you today, sir?
fantastic. Just getting off my day job. So it's kind of nice, man. It's kind of nice and it's great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, hey, thanks for doing this. Chris, how are you today?
Oh, not bad, I guess. End of work day, so that's a good thing. Going to Vegas in a couple days, so even better. Oh,
nice, nice. Yeah, there's never a bad time had out there. So I guess we'll start at the beginning. Rhino, we'll start with you. What initially got you into this wonderful world that is professional wrestling in the first place?
Actually, it was Chris. Chris started taking me to independent shows at RCW, and one of the people there was, they were saying they were starting up a school and come check it out. And of course, I decided, hey, why not? Asked him if he wanted to come along, and luckily he said yes. So here we are 3 years later.
And so Chris, I guess what was it that brought brought you to, maybe not like, obviously he just said you guys kind of went into wrestling together, but what drew you to the wrestling world as a whole, like as someone who would want to go to a show for RCW and watch it, like what about this world speaks to you?
So like I always grew up with wrestling, right? My dad watched it, I watched it with him for years. That's what we did, watch, you know, anywhere from Saturday Night Main Event when Hogan was there to growing up, right? So I was always doing that. And then actually my son, he had a wrestler who was in RCW, Jordan Aries, at the time, and I was his best friend, right? So he's like, oh, he just started premiering, so let's go see him. So we went to go see him a couple of times, right? And we were talking with him, got the whole plastic pants going on, stuff like that, right, where he used to be there. And then Rand and me played football together a whole bunch of years, so I was like, hey, I started talking about this, he seemed interested, and yeah, that's kind of how we got it all going.
Nice. That, I mean, it's funny how different, like some people, it's like, I grew up watching it from two, and some people are like, I saw it one time when I was bouncing at a bar and thought, yeah, I could do that. The paths brought into this world have kind of, it's so interesting to see kind of how everyone enters this sort of a realm. Rhino, for you, what was kind of the initiation to the wrestling world like? And was there a performer or two that you kind of modeled your style after? And is there now, I guess, one or two that you kind of look at as like, I tried to do that sort of a thing?
I don't know if there's any particular wrestlers that I model my style after. It's a very big mashup of guys. I grew up loving the big, like the superstars, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, all those guys. But being that I'm 300 pounds and 6'3", generally it's a little hard for me to kind of get all their moves over. So I also grew up watching The Big Show and Brock Lesnar and all those guys. So it's really just a kind of a mashup. I take from a little bit from everybody, but initiation into the wrestling world was it was tough. It was tough at points, but I'm really glad I stuck with it for sure.
And Chris, what was the introduction into wrestling like for you?
Well, like I said, like I kind of grew up with it and always watching and stuff like that, right? And then I ended up having a family pretty early, so I set aside all the fun stuff in my life, did all the family stuff, and then it was just kind of when I had time, started getting into it, and I said, trained with Randon, and it's like, oh hey, I can actually do this, right? You always wonder, you watch TV, like, oh maybe I can do that, maybe I can do that, right? And then you start doing it, and some of it you can do, some of it you realize it hurts like hell, and but you kind of get addicted to it and just keep going, right?
Again, I find it interesting. Like the people who really get into it, there are some obviously where there's egos and stuff like that. But a lot of people, it's like, huh, I wonder if I could actually do that. But buddy, four beers deep, three rows back, it's like, ah, I could do what they do. And then you get a guy in a cowboy hat and sunglasses yelling at you to try to beat you up and challenging you to a fight in the parking lot. Not that I'm using exact examples or anything like that. But
No, not at
well.
all.
You guys,
Never
like
even
you
seen
said,
once.
oh yeah, no, yeah, I just randomly pulling different stuff out of the air here. Rhino, you said like you guys kind of went into training together. Was the idea always to be a tag team, or did you guys like start to see that, oh, there's actually chemistry in this, maybe a little bit more than we thought?
Well, originally, my goal was always to be in a tag team, and when he agreed to come train, basically, I was trying to sell him on it from like the start. Be like, hey man, we should be a tag team. I think we could be great because we had so much chemistry from football. When I played D line, and when I played D line, we always worked together. He was a linebacker, so I opened up a nice hole for him, and he could go crush a quarterback or get a tackle in the backfield, and it was always really nice that way. And I know he had no like he's got. For being as jacked as he is, he has such a like no ego. So I knew that him and I we've always gotten along so well. I figured we'd get along really well in this.
And it seems to be working. You guys have really developed into one of the better tag teams, like I said, in the city. And it's always, there's always a different energy when you guys come into the arena, or the bar or wherever it may be. Chris, as you guys have kind of gone along, I've noticed anyway, just in the brief time I've seen you guys work, that there is, like I said, that crowd reaction. Was it a time for you where it's like, oh, it's starting to click here now?
Like when we were always training, like we started training together and then we got separated doing different schools and we came back and stuff. It was kind of different to begin with, right? Both different styles, different coaches and that. And so we kind of really worked together though to try and figure out what we could do together to be a tag team, right? We didn't want to do individual stuff and then make it look like a tag team. We always wanted to make it look like a tag team. And I think just growing with that, once we got more comfortable doing it, we can talk in the ring, we can talk with each other, we try things out. And yeah, it's just obviously the more time we get together in the ring, practicing, going against opponents, figuring out how each other moves and stuff like that. I think it's really good. I think, but overall, probably within the last year, I think we've really pushed ourselves to, make sure we did extra work in there, to do the extra reactions, to make sure we're on the same page, right? Like if after the end of a match, we're like, hey, we did this move, but maybe if we do it this way, it might be a bit smoother. Right. And so starting to do that type of stuff, I think it really helps and shows more that we're working together instead of just two individuals.
Rhino, that seems like it would be kind of the fun part of it. Like instead of what you're thinking, like obviously you have to be thinking the whole time, but obviously, okay, I'm going to do this and now I'm going to do this. And it kind of becomes a bit of a robotic nature. Well, once you start to be like, it starts to flow a little bit better and you start to realize like, okay, we could do X, Y, and Z, but ABC, well, that could be a whole lot more fun. I imagine that's when things really start to get flowing and really start to get fun in this industry.
I find that it is for sure. I find that it's a lot of creative collaboration, especially in the tag team end of things. There's only so much you can do as an individual, but when you have that second person able to, especially like somebody like Chris in comparison to my style, which is a lot of just big power stuff, big man stuff. He's so acrobatic and athletic that we literally have no limits to what we can or can't do. And we can even switch roles in certain scenarios for certain moves, which is fantastic. So we're never giving the fans the same thing where it's just like, oh yeah, this is happening and that's it. And that's all. So yeah. I really, really enjoy that collaborative nature, especially being in a tag team with one of my best friends.
Chris, looking at, obviously it's been brought up a couple times. You are a rather in shape fellow. I do believe that I saw on social media, some powerlifting that you were partaking in. Is that just a passion project of lifting things up and putting them down? Or is there a competitive aspect to it? To tell me a little bit more about that world, because I am very obviously not well versed in it.
Well, so like I've always done lifting and stuff like that to keep myself active and stuff like that, right? And just the way I've always done it, it's been more of a strength training for me instead of building muscle and stuff like that, which, you know, obviously comes afterwards. But so it was through that. And we go to this gym I go to. They have powerlifting competitions there. They've done it for a couple of years now. And the owner there was talking with me, asked me, you know, hey, how about doing this? And so I started trying it out and seeing. And once you start doing it, you realize, hey, you know, you're good at it. Right. And you kind of hit the levels and stuff. So I was trained at it and really trained. It's definitely something I'm very competitive at now. Right. And luckily for me, my first meet doing it, I was able to go out and make a national record, which was amazing for me. Very happy. Right. And I'm actually got another competition here in July, which I'm going to try to increase that record or go closer to world record. And something just kind of fell into my lap that I've been doing for years and just never knew I could compete at it, right?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I don't know that either. Also, not luckily. There's work that goes into it. You don't luck your way into records in lifting, but appreciate the humility nonetheless. How do you find that translates into the wrestling world? Like, obviously, you are lifting people and then dropping them in ways that you're hoping is safe. You have, as mentioned, a bit more of an athletic style. Is there, like, a balance of super jacked but also need to keep that athleticism? Like, how do you walk that balance, I guess?
So, for me, like, I've always been sports my whole life. Right. Yeah. Whether it's been football, rugby, anything like that, it's always been sports. So I've always tried to keep myself athletic and moving and stuff. So it comes really natural for me. So I don't really notice it a lot of what I can't do. Things that I'm worried about trying in the ring, I will try and I'll practice and practice. And I find, though, the way I have done lifting my life and stuff, it helps me more of like, because more core balance, more all around. So it gives me a strength to be able to do the stuff I want to. Right. And that way gives the ability to either jump higher or, you know, be able to take the bumps or lift the person up as needed, different things like that. Right. Like, not all of us can be 300 pounds and lift the guy like he's nothing.
I'm neither. Another part of this is the fan interaction. And that is something that candidly, I think you guys do very, very well. I'm always at these shows that I'm at, always seeing you guys interacting with fans, always seeing you like taking extra moments to chat. You are always the first ones out for the intermission and generally the last ones to leave as well. Rhino, is that just a natural, I guess, being an extrovert, or is that something that you just recognize, like, hey, I was once the person here, so I think it would be cool that this is how I would have wanted to be treated, so that's what I'm going to do? Where does that sort of an interaction, I guess, come from?
It comes, it's a little bit of everything you said. It's a little bit of the, you know, being, starting as a fan, wanting to talk to wrestlers. It's a little bit of, you know, realizing that just talking to them for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or for however long during an intermission, taking a photo, high-fiving them, you know, letting them hold a championship belt or whatever, all that stuff makes memories. And in all honesty, the most important people at a wrestling show, in my opinion, are the fans, because without fans, we're not getting paid. We're not performing for anybody. There's nobody there, right? So number one thing is to try to make fans happy. And if it's something as minor as us taking a photo or giving handshakes, high fives, talking to people, why not? Especially intermissions. They're like, at most, the longest intermission I've been a part of has been like a half hour. So if I'm hanging out for a half hour, and half the time I'm talking to Chris anyway. So we're just laughing and joking and having a good time, getting ready for either for a match or recovering from our last one. So, like, there's no reason to be in a bad mood or be upset or whatever. Like, fans are one of the most important things in wrestling. Without them, there's nothing. There's no reason to do any of it.
I will say the longest intermission I saw was the one at the Legion, where it was like an hour 15 because light tubes had to be cleaned up. But that was extenuating circumstances. That was that was a little weird. And at some point, it just became a cleanup effort, less of an intermission. But I guess, Chris, same question to you. The importance of interacting with the fans and creating those memories like Rhino talked about.
Oh, I think it's like one of the best parts of wrestling, right? There's no way I'd do it without the fans there, right? As much as I love the sport and everything, but that's the whole point of doing it, is for the fans, right? We don't go and put our bodies out there and take the punishment. We do just to look at each other and be like, oh yeah, good job, right? Like,
yeah.
So that's it. Like, you know, it's 100% for them. So if I can go around, high five, try and get that energy up, see the kids light up. And it's crazy watching, you know, it's one thing having kids high five you and stuff like that, but having all the adults come up and stand up and cheer for you and shout and scream your name or boo you or tell you you're terrible and whatever, right? You're getting that reaction from them and you're getting something they can maybe go home with and, you know, be like, hey, yeah, I remember this spot here. Or, hey, I remember this here, right? And us doing the pictures, it's great, right? We've had times where we've had lineups of pictures of people waiting and waiting, and other times we get one or two, right? But even if it's just one or two, it's just something for them, right? And I always find it so weird because you can see how much it means to a lot of them because how quietly they'll come up or how they approach you, like, you know, asking, do you mind if I do this? Do you mind if I that, right? When, of course, we're there. That's what we're there for.
Yeah. I mean, you guys do look terrifying at times, so I can see why there would be some hesitation. But in terms of the wrestling scene in Calgary, Rhino, we were kind of talking a bit before we hit record here. It seems very healthy here right now. Obviously, the city of Calgary has a deep history in the world of professional wrestling. But in terms of where we are at here in the summer of 2024, it feels like we're a good spot from where I'm sitting. What about you? How do you feel the health of the industry is in the city right now?
Honestly, I feel like it's on an uptake. There's lots of promotions that are around Calgary. There's lots of independent wrestling for people to take in. Currently, we're working for RCW and Wild Rose, and we got another one-off show for Nanbert Manor. They're putting on something called Manor Combat on the 21st of June, so that'll be fun. But you know, at the end of the day, attendances, I've noticed even just since I've started wrestling, have been going up steadily, and they're a lot more stable. They're not, people aren't just coming out for the show with a big name on it. They're coming week in, week out, selling out Legion, selling out bars, selling out, you know, arenas with Dungeon Wrestling. Like, the fact that pro wrestling is on the return, which bodes very well for Chris and I, but at the same time, I feel like it bodes well for fans because they also have options. They can decide what shows they want to go to, and they have such a plethora of talent they can choose to see. It's honestly incredible. It's a great time to be a fan. It's a great time to be a wrestler. It's a great time to just be around in general.
Yeah, no, it is really great. And Chris, I've noticed, like, my wife has come to a bunch of the shows that I've been lucky enough to do with Wild Rose. And every time, the first time it was her and a friend, and then it was her and three friends, and then her and five friends showed up. It seems like anytime just get into the building, you'll have a good time. But it also seems every time they have to get there a little bit earlier and a little bit earlier because the tickets are going. Is that something you've noticed as well, like Rhino, that things are really growing in the city right now?
Absolutely. Like, I mean, now, you do have the one or two occasional shows where it won't be a lot. Like, I mean, there's tons of stuff in Calgary, right?
Yeah,
going on. But from when I started even watching RCW as a fan 3-4 years ago, 5 years ago before COVID and that, right? It just,
consistently there, right? There's always a huge amount of people there watching it with RCW, with the other shows. Wild Rose is growing. You watch the other promotions. They're doing amazing, right? You see, you know, Dungeons last show was a full sellout for them, right? Which is absolutely great for them, you know? And yeah, it's bringing back that spirit that Calgary used to have with wrestling, right? When everybody was all about it and they go and it was a big thing to go watch it, right? Which is nice because, you know, we get to be part of that, right?
Yeah, no, 100%. It's cool. And yeah, just seeing it, like I had before all of this, I had a wrestling show with Sportsnet 960 and seeing the passion that everyone had. And then, like you said, the pandemic happens and all of that. And now to see it kind of coming back and to be the teeniest, tiniest part of things and watching it grow has been really, really cool. You guys have mentioned a couple promotions that you are working with. I thought I would give y'all a chance to talk some people into the door. Rhino, we will start with you. The best that one can do, pulled over on the highway wearing face paint. RCW coming up this weekend. I believe I saw it as you and Davey Disaster in a tag match against a couple of, to put it generously, a couple old fellas. What can we expect from you? And like I said, talk us into the door for that one this weekend.
We call ourselves the Prophets of Disaster, so you know what? That's cool too. The only reason that I'm tagging with him is because Chris is going to Vegas. But yeah, we've been picking on Steve Wilde and Steven Styles quite a bit lately, and maybe they finally had enough. Maybe they maybe we'll see them actually get one up on us, because Lord knows it's been a while. it's gonna be violence. It's gonna be an epic show. We're gonna give 110% like we always do. And we're definitely gonna show Calgary a good time. I think I still got some blood on my boots from Steve Wilde, actually. So I gotta get those cleaned off.
Well, maybe wait till after this weekend and then just get it all at once. That show, it is, again, Real Canadian Wrestling, coming up June 8th at the Royal Canadian Legion #1. So get your tickets now for that. Chris, also, you guys are on Manor Combat coming up June 21st. For anyone who wants to come out and see the Prophets, let us know what kind of a match and what kind of a style you guys will be bringing June 21st to Manor Combat.
We're going against Handsome Devils. Right, I think it should be a really good battle. We've battled them back and forth through multiple promotions and that, right? They've actually haven't had one up on us the last time we met them, right? Causing us to lose, which is a big disappointment, or get ourselves disqualified. They didn't actually pin us, so I want to point that out there. it's going to be a battle. 99. It's going to be a lot of fun. We know each other really well, right? So I think we'll have to come up with a lot of new stuff. Me and Rand will be talking about a lot of different things that we can do instead, and just bring out something different for them, right? So it's a big surprise for them. But it should be a really good show. Hopefully this new promotion works out really well for them. They're having a big party afterwards and a market before and trying to make a whole day of it. And sounds like it'll be a lot of good.
Yeah, no, they are pulling out all the stops for that one. That event is coming up. As I said, it is June 21st at the Forest Heights Community Hall. Doors open at 6. Bell time is at 7 o'clock. It's wild. I just had that memorized and didn't read any of that at all. Gentlemen, but before I let you go, plug your shit. Rhino, where can people find you on social media?
They can find me at Rhino Reynolds on Instagram. They can find us at The Prophets Official on Instagram as well. We have Facebook pages, Rhino Reynolds, Chris Castles. And yeah, just hit us up, man. Tag us in any pictures you take.
100%. Chris, I would imagine the social media takes a pause in Vegas. The whole everything that happens there stays there sort of thing. But yeah, the one more time, the social media is for you.
Yeah, basically same thing, right? So we have the shared one at Official Prophets on Instagram. I have Chris Castles on Instagram. And then Facebook, same thing, under Chris Castles, right?
Perfect. Guys, this was a whole lot of fun. Thank you very much for taking the time today. Best of luck, and can't wait to see you guys at shows across the city and across the province moving forward.
Thank you.
Absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much, man.
All right, that's the show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. One more time, follow me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm at PrimetimeKlein, twitch.tv/PrimetimePK. And you can email this show, CouchPotatoDiary@yahoo.com. If you're looking for more football, there's a ton of it. We got a fights. This is a Fights in Football Friday. Football Friday is just going to be part of a regular Couch Potato Diary coming up in part two of this. Also, if you want something on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, I have a rider-specific show that is out now wherever you are consuming this. Thank you guys so much. Everything with the channel has been going great so far. I love all the support. Thank you all, and I will talk to all of you later.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.